Let's capture the moment.
Okay, well, you have to be slightly silent, as do I.
Welcome to the John, Paul, and Mike Show! John, how are you today?
Well, immediately annoyed. Well, you've got to do a better job than that.
All right.
Okay, but anyway, it doesn't matter.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know what? I did a talent show in Souk last weekend. And so I got really good at doing different voices.
Hold on, you were emceeing or you were the talent?
I was emceeing.
Oh, okay.
I'd have to have some talent to enter a talent contest. But it was a lot of fun, live on stage.
Yeah, it was a good intro. It was a good intro. Okay. We haven't done this for a while, Paul, so you're a bit rusty. A bit rusty.
Yeah.
But we're in this used everywhere.com building on 818
Global headquarters.
Global.
Yeah, I'm going to have to edit out the address, too. We're at the used...
Why?
Because this is top secret, man.
Oh, I see.
This is top secret. There's big things go on here.
Yeah, well, it's pretty exciting, and it's really reflective, I think. We'll get a sense from our speakers about the kind of excitement around economic development in Victoria.
Cool stuff happening in business in Victoria, and we got some business leaders with us today. If you haven't already listened to the Lacey episode from usedeverywhere.com, I want you to pause right now. I want you to go back and listen to that episode and then come back in a minute.
Okay, are we going to pause now?
All right, welcome back. So with us today, John, why don't you do the honors of introducing our guests?
Well, I don't know who the guests are. I do know the young lady on my right.
Yes.
Okay. Daniela. Now, how do you want me to say that? Trubelich or Kubelik?
Kubelik.
Okay. Interestingly enough, both my name and hers somewhat same.
There's several ways
phonetic.
To say them. Yeah.
Yeah. So we do have roots somewhere, somewhere in the rest of the world. Anyway, an absolute pioneer in terms of retail, an absolute pioneer in terms of manufacturing for the city.
Yes.
A pioneer in so many ways. I think for female leadership, female business leadership. Very, very lucky to have her on our podcast today. How much did you have to pay her to get on?
We don't disclose that information. But if people are concerned about our budget, visit our Patreon campaign, where you can contribute as little as $1 a month.
Excellent. Good segue. Anyway, we're pretty lucky to have her. And
to my right
is
Dan Degg, who is wearing a fabulous bow tie that he tied himself.
Well, people can see that on the video, don't you think?
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Very excited to hear that finally somebody I know was named to an important position in Victoria. The Greater Victoria Development
Agency. Does that say something
agency?
About you?
Yeah, it's all about... Yeah, it really is. But in an industry I understand.
Yeah.
Not necessarily that I was ever good at, but an industry I understand. So what's your new role at Greater Victoria Development Agency?
My new role is that I chair the board
yes.
of the GBDA.
Excellent.
In my spare time. And I will project closer to the mic.
Oh, boy.
Thank you for
so
the
that the video doesn't pick up my hand signal?
Yeah. Yes. And I am sporting a bow tie that I did tie myself. For those that... They can't see.
I think that's great. I mean, actually, in his real day job, he is an amazing CEO and creative force behind Hot House Marketing.
Yes.
Literally, I think one of the best creative agencies in BC. Nonetheless, is also on the Victoria Chamber of Commerce Board and chair of an economic development agency that was formed about 10 years ago. And I think is starting to really find its way.
It's good to see, yeah. And I know, Dan, I heard your story on television. Was that Czech News or CTV where they interviewed you and you had some big ideas for making this more relevant to the region and growing the economy by, what was it, 4 or 5 times? No, I'm just kidding.
He said that.
But
you're being modest.
We should aim for that.
Yeah. Baby steps along the way. So what kind of changes are we going to see the GBDA in the short term, and how are we going to get proper funding and do some real economic development in this region?
Oh, those are really good questions.
Wow. Well, what's the meaning of life?
Pelt.
Hey, why don't we let him absorb all of that? And why don't we let our speakers maybe give some sort of foundation?
Yes.
What is the pulse out in the city of Victoria? what kind of economic sense is out there, and then maybe we can see, you know, what might be the future from there.
Yeah, what's the foundation?
Yeah.
Foundational bits. Good idea, John.
Thank you, Paul. Yeah.
So I'll comment first, because you know what? It's the question that everybody asks as you go around town, how's business? How's business? Everybody says good.
Kind of have to,
but
yeah.
You don't necessarily take that for the truth. And, you know, it really, it depends on what sector of business you're in, right? But my sense right now is that things are going well, right? Like, we're starting to see some recovery. Tourism numbers are good. There's a few problems in places, but all in all, pretty positive. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What do you hear?
Well, you know what? I mean, I would agree, and I think that I see a lot of transition right now, and there's a lot of sectoral change. And, you know, I think that what we're seeing right now, more broadly beyond Victoria, is a big shift around what's happening for business in general, right? So, I mean, we look at what's happened with video stores and how quickly they rose and fell, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that, you know, the pace of business has changed, the pace of innovation has changed. You know, from my perspective as a retailer, I would say that, you know, retail has gotten tougher, you know, I think because of online competition. And so, you know, we see a lot of retail transition, and we see a lot of retail businesses that are struggling with the new reality of what retail looks like today, with so many, not just big box stores, but also boutique environments that are competing in an online way as online shopping really picks up. You know, what I see, though, too, is that I think there's a tendency sometimes to be a little bit like the sky is falling, you know, and I think that we need to sometimes take a step back and understand the more global issues that are happening, so that some of these problems are not Victoria problems. They're really very wide across lots of sectors, and they're global issues. So I think we need to understand that, because I think that some things we can solve and some things we can't solve. Some things are the nature of where we find ourselves. And I guess the other thing that I would say, that, you know, what I see is a lot of opportunity. And, you know, and what I've done to grow my business is that, you know, there's an advantage and a disadvantage to being where we are, right? So, I mean, the disadvantage is we're low density, we're away from a lot of markets. The population base to grow larger businesses isn't here. And the demographics are sometimes challenging, too, because we have, you know, people who are house poor. You know, the cost of living is very high here. You know, we don't have the big corporate offices here. But on the reverse side of that, from my perspective, our strength is in an ideas economy, right? Like, I think we have lots of lifestyle customers here that we can target to, and then we can use that to sell to the rest of Canada, or in my case, to the rest of North America. So I think that there's a lot of advantages, but we need to understand what our weaknesses are, and then we need to look for where those opportunities are.
Hmm. And I think you nailed it. I think I've said on the show a few times, you know, the most successful businesses that I know of in Victoria are selling things not just to Victoria. They're selling to the world. And you've got for those of you who don't know Daniela and the story of Silk Road Tea, you guys have been around for
23 years,
yeah. And
really?
Yes.
And Douglas Magazine had a fantastic cover article. What was that? November?
I think it was September. September.
Yeah, all about the new manufacturing equipment that you brought, because apparently, and I didn't know this, I learned this in the article, apparently manufacturing tea bags is quite a specialty thing, and there's only so many places in the world that can do this.
And so now
Victoria is a center of tea manufacturing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and, you know, and again, too, I mean, I think that our opportunities lie in, you know, recognizing that, you know, from my perspective, like, I'm very, very happy with the customers that we have here. I feel that although, again, our population base is smaller than some other areas, we actually have some very cosmopolitan customers here. We have some very educated customers here, mm-hmm. and we have very lifestyle-oriented customers. Right. So to me, we're kind of almost a cross between Berkeley, San Francisco, and Brooklyn. Right? Like,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And we see that we have a lot of artisanal producers, mm-hmm. you know, so, you know, I think that we have those opportunities, but I think we need to start changing sometimes how we see those opportunities. I think we need to change sometimes how we see ourselves. You know, I think we need to sometimes think bigger. You know, I think we need to look past sometimes the challenges of the day-to-day and, you know, again, look at opportunities where they don't exist.
Well, yes. Yes. In somehow or another, some of the hats I've worn over the past 15 years, which ages me desperately...
Drink more tea.
Yeah. You've been telling me that. Unfortunately,
from
for a long
scotch
time.
Scotch to tea, there, John.
I'll mix them and then eventually get rid of
them. Oh, I see. Yeah.
And being involved with economic development, there's a standard sort of barrier to success regionally in that the municipalities don't work together. We saw then Chamber and some municipalities start to try to break out of that mold by forming the GVDA a while ago. Continues to be a barrier. Nonetheless, there's been some success regionally by integrating services. So you see some police, you see water, you see some services just ignoring the amalgamation challenges and working together. And I think we're starting to see that on the economic development side, in that people are starting to show leadership on ECDEV without needing permission from political leaders. And I see that particularly in terms of the folks that are working out on the peninsula and that are living in Langford, they're starting to say, we don't like that. Right. We don't like that dynamic, and we want to live somewhere else. Not entirely too concerned about where we work on Lower Vancouver Island. And therefore, I think Victoria really starts to become a place where they can live and not have to go too far to work. And to that end, I think that is where the opportunity really lies in terms of capturing economic development opportunities for the next 5 years and putting them into areas around Victoria like Rock Bay, potentially develop that as a Yale town for Victoria. And then all of a sudden, the vibe, that sense of an ideas economy really starts to move. And you just put 5 or 10,000 more people in downtown Victoria, all of a sudden, all those lease signs go away. We've also had, I think, of course, disclaimer, I worked and raised money for her, but I think we have a new mayor who sees that vision. Now, whether that construct of a council and mayor can actually make those decisions remains to be seen. So I'm kind of excited. I think people are just going, hey, if that mayor doesn't want to talk to that mayor, too bad.
I'm cautiously optimistic. I had the opportunity to meet, for the first time, actually meet John Vickers the other day when we talked at fair length about, you know, the amalgamation movement and the status of that. I think that's I really do think that that is a long tail process, though. You know, like over the next couple of decades, if we can pull together some form of amalgamation, I think that would be a huge achievement for our region, because everything's just glacial pace of progress here.
So in the meantime,
so cautiously optimistic. In the meantime, though, we've got to, obviously, on economic development, Dan, we've got to work together. And I know for the longest time, a lot of the municipalities were not working with the GVDA and were not singing from the same song sheet. So is that starting to change now? Are we seeing some movement there?
Well, we're certainly getting talked about a lot more, and we're on everybody's agenda. So I think we're sort of at a watershed moment in terms of regional economic development, and I'm hoping that we're going to move forward with a regional approach. I mean, the reality is that people don't think of the 13 individual municipalities when they're thinking about moving to the South Island, right? People in Vancouver haven't even heard of them, right? People think about Victoria. I, as a Victoria citizen, I live in Saanich. My business is downtown Victoria. I shop all over the place.
And your customers are from all over the place.
Exactly. And so I think we just got to start thinking and acting regionally.
I think the mayor of Colwood or View Royal should be excited when Central Saanich gets a new business that comes in and hires 50 people.
Well, they nearly won't be. Okay, it's never been that way.
I know.
But you know what is exciting is that someone who lives in Colwood and they see a new retail opportunity or something that might excite them on the peninsula, they don't care. We don't check our friggin' GPS when we drive in between these municipalities. We go, can I get there? You know, Langford is this amazing economic development story, which is now so congested. It, you know, you actually think about when can I go, when should I not go, because it's so much traffic.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of the decision-making I go through. I don't think about, you know, oh, well, I'm going to go into Langford now. Mm-hmm. I think about, is it easy? Is it convenient? Is it cheap? You know, or, you know, those kind of things that mayors are going to make an impact on that.
No.
But I mean, you know what? I think that as a business community, we show leadership by working collaboratively and working together. And so often, you know, unfortunately, politicians should lead, but often they follow.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I think that, you know, the more they see businesses across municipal boundaries aligning and working together and saying, hey, we've had enough of this and we need to work together, because they haven't seen that leadership from us either necessarily in a sustained and consistent way,
sure.
Right? So I think that there's a real opportunity, certainly, you know, through GVDA and through the business community to continue to say, look, you know what, this isn't working anymore, and we're losing, you know, and I mean, you know, and I think many of us know that we're actually losing a lot of federal money by not actually being amalgamated, we're losing provincial money, we're losing clout, we're losing all sorts of different things by not being amalgamated, but beyond that, we are also losing that sense of community sometimes, that sense of we're all working together and pushing mm-hmm. for the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel like as business leaders, I think we need to continue to have those conversations with people and to press the politicians and say, what are you doing about this? And, you know, and I think that starts to create the change.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I totally agree. I mean, do it first and ask for permission later. Politicians are definitely the landlords, the municipal ones. So there are certain very specific issues of growth around zoning and housing and capacity building, which they have to make. We can't do that.
Right.
But I think they have to start to hear that people would love to live in Victoria. And I've had chats specifically with the tech sector, with the tourism folks. People who work in these industries can't live here. Mm-hmm. And that sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, you and I have bashed this thing around for 2 years now.
Yeah.
You live in Souk.
Yeah.
You know, that's a tough haul.
It's awesome.
But it's the only place you can raise a family, isn't it, at this stage?
Yeah. Well, it's affordable. It's much more affordable than you know, living in Saanich or Central Saanich or something, you know, like that. I would never even think of buying a house in downtown Victoria unless I was making twice what I'm making right now. So you deal with whatever your limited options are, right? And it's fine. It's a great community. It's nice. You know, I know lots of people raising their family in Shawnigan Lake and, you know, up, you know, further points north, and they make the commute. But certainly not good for our environment, certainly not good for our region. And, you know, there's some different policies could change that.
Well, not only is it time to build space for young people to live in Victoria, but we got to build space for those older folks that are downsizing.
Yeah.
And who's going to buy that $1.6 million house in Oak Bay in North Saanich?
Yeah.
Certainly not me.
Yeah.
I don't think you are lately.
Not yet.
Unless the Smart Dolphins gig, of course, is really well paid. And it might be.
It's phenomenal. No, it's actually a great company.
You know, so there's actually lots of capacity, and you put 10,000 more people in downtown Victoria.
Yeah.
And it's rocking and rolling. I'm not kidding.
Yeah. No, it's you're right. And I don't know if Dan, if you have some insights here in terms of what John's talking about, you know, putting bringing families back to Victoria. I certainly get the sense that we can't, older people aren't downsizing. They're just staying in their four bedroom houses and living there in retirement.
Well, ultimately, we need to create more household sustaining jobs, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we all have kids. I would love my kids to be able to stay here, find great jobs. Right now, I'm not that optimistic mm-hmm. about that.
Yeah.
And I think in order to do that, we need a mind shift, right? And people need to start recognizing the importance of a robust economy, right? Without a healthy economy, then we don't have jobs, we don't have the revenue base to support the things that we hold dear and what make this such a great place to live in the first place, right?
And I think, too, I mean, you know, I think the government's role in this, too, is to create a positive climate to encourage business to flourish, right? And I think that that's where, you know, GVDA can help. And I think that that's where, you know, because it really is up to us as entrepreneurs and business people to get the businesses going and to start them. But we need to create that climate where it's easy to start a business, you know, where, you know, I think, you know, we're still in that mindset with municipalities where they're very regulatory oriented, right? And that's part of their job. That's part of what they're here to do. That's what we need them to do, because there needs to be a level playing field and some rules and regulations that people follow. But what happens sometimes is they fall too much into the trap of focusing entirely on regulation and becoming too red tape oriented, to the point where, you know, it's sort of hard to fathom opening a business or expanding your business.
Correct.
And that's something that I think, you know, again, yeah, needs to change. And I think, yeah, you know, and for those of us who have succeeded despite that, I think it's for us to sort of say, look, just because I'm here and I've done it doesn't mean it's easy, and mm-hmm, we need to sort of make some changes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been involved with Mayor Young and Langford probably 5 years with the ECDEV stuff. I've seen how that works. Very involved on the peninsula with the manufacturing and the three municipalities out there. And there's a common thread to the success stories around economic development, and it speaks directly to Daniela's point. The bureaucracy and process around starting a business through a municipality is easier in those places than it is in Victoria. Mm-hmm. And well, I've had that chat with Mayor Helps, yeah, and whoever cares to listen to me, that make it easier to start up a business. Yeah, get out of the way.
We're talking about a bricks and mortar thing too, right? You know, is it the same challenge when we're talking about, you know, virtual businesses where people can work from their homes or you know, rent some upper floor office space and stuff? Are people facing those same challenges in Victoria?
The bureaucracy around setting up a business in Victoria can be devastating. Hmm. It can break the back of a business. If there's one singular thing that this newly elected council can do, is make it easier, remove some of those regulations.
Make it easier to navigate and change the way. And you know what? They have made some strides on this. Like, they have become more customer service oriented for
Correct. I understand.
And I think that needs to continue. I mean,
but there's some horror stories coming out of developers that are creating those spots for businesses.
Sure. Yeah.
The kind of development issues, coming out of Victoria are bad.
Well, I think you're talking about some specific sectors, though, John. Like, I know if somebody wants to start a small business now, the provincial government's created a portal where you can go in and you can sign up for your GST number and you can sign up for your business license and, you know,
They have. And there's been huge improvements. Like, I know I'm very familiar with some of the changes they've had at City Hall and in Victoria around making the website more user-friendly, around property, around, you know, so they have made some changes, but I think there's also a perception issue too, right? So, you know, if you, like, so much of, you know, perception drives people's behavior, whether it's reality or not, right? So if you perceive it's going to be difficult to open a business,
it becomes reality.
It does. So I think it does come down to sort of really, you know, creating that perception that we are open, we're excited to have you join us. And I mean, you know, and certainly I know, you know, I was very involved with the Downtown Victoria Business Association for a long time. And, you know, we were very focused on, again, sending that message out to new businesses that we welcome you to come and open a business in downtown Victoria. And, you know, and that there are opportunities here. And, you know, and
well,
again,
both of you own businesses in downtown Vic. Mm-hmm. What's been your experience, Dan? With this regulation stuff. He's laughing. Okay, am I opening a can of worms? Well, I think we got to stay black. You know, we got to tell people, what are the barriers?
I moved my business to Government Street, and the first letter I got from the city was, I'm not zoned for that use and can be fined up to $250 a day for every day I do business until that zoning is fixed. And the zoning
welcome to
changed,
Victoria.
Right? There was a business in there doing office work when I leased the place.
Oh,
nothing
wow.
changed.
Okay, well, that is, so that has to change. There you go. If that wasn't there, that would have been nicer.
But a welcome letter saying thank you for locating your business in Victoria would have been a nice thing.
Wow.
Well, and even too, like, you know what, I think, like, to me, you know, because I'm in the customer service side of things, I always view things from a customer service perspective, right? So when I look at that, I go, okay, you know what, like, there's a regulatory component to what the city does, and sometimes it doesn't make sense to us, you know, at first blush, but there's reasons for it. But there's a way to handle that communication even, right? There's a way to say, you know what, congratulations on opening a new business. We've noticed there's a discrepancy around this bylaw issue. Let's figure out how we can solve this problem.
Yeah.
You know, that feels entirely different. And again, I mean, you know, there's a regulatory, I mean, there are regulatory reasons that the city has to do certain things. And we may not always agree with them, but that they're required, there's a reason for them. But it's about how that's communicated. It's about creating that.
Yeah, but
we're here to serve you, and we're here to actually.
Yeah. Like, so that's actually not too hard to change.
No.
Asking for all one single municipality is pretty hard. But having that singular change of mindset at City Hall, that we're customer service friendly, that we're business friendly, would make a change.
They've been talking about that for a long time, and I don't know. I haven't had a lot of business with Victoria City Hall, so I don't know what's changed. That's true. It strikes me that that letter might have been appropriate when you ignored the first 12 letters, right? but you know,
and I know Dan, he would never do that.
As an opening salvo, threatening to find somebody $250 a day is maybe.
So not. Tell us some more. Or have you not moved beyond that one?
That's all cleared. I'm legal. No need for the inspector to come by.
That's right.
But you know what? Like, we had some dialogue, and it got sorted out fairly quickly. But I think there's some processes and protocols in place that are carried from up the past, right? And
You know what? What I would add to that, though, and here's what I feel like is that, you know, I think Dan, because he was a seasoned business person to start out with, when he got that letter, it's probably frustrating and irritating. But because he's more confident and experienced, he had the confidence to reach out and maybe say, okay, well, I'm going to have a conversation with you guys about what's gone on. And, you know, and I think what concerns me sometimes is that with new businesses and new entrepreneurs, whatever age they are, if they're new in their cycle of opening a business, it can be extremely intimidating to get that kind of correspondence, right? So, I mean, you know, and you know, overall, I'd have to say I've had a pretty good experience in downtown Victoria, you know, in terms of the experiences that I've had. But sometimes when I get a little, like, to me, this is a little hiccup. Like, if I get something like that, you know, I'm like, you know, okay, well, I'll talk to them, right? Because I have the confidence, I've been in business for a while. It can be extremely intimidating, particularly when people are opening a new business.
On a shoestring budget.
Yes.
And they're looking at $250 a day, and they're like, forget it, I'm going to pack up and take my great idea and move it, you know, somewhere else.
Yeah. So certainly we would hope as two business leader guests that we can summarize that certainly an easier way to start a business would be very helpful. And I don't think we have to amalgamate to do that. And there are other municipalities in this region that do that. So we know it can be done.
I'd like to actually hopefully expand on some positive things as well, because, you know, it's easy to pick out the negatives, and obviously that was probably not a bright, shiny day for getting that letter. But it strikes me, and I'm really curious, especially Daniela, but also Dan, to hear your opinion, it strikes me that the City of Victoria has done an amazing job in reforming their parking policies downtown. Am I off base here, or you're tentatively nodding?
No. Well, you know what? I mean, I think there have been improvements for sure.
Yeah.
You know what? I've been so busy and doing so much traveling since the new parking stuff went into effect that I haven't been around as much to hear or see, you know, what's been happening. You know, my perception is that I think the change and lowering the rates at the parkades has been good. I park at the Centennial Square Parkade all the time. I found that to be, it's more crowded. It's busier there, right? So I think that's good. But at the same time, too, I mean, I would say that parking is always going to be one of those hot button issues, mm-hmm. right? And I mean,
in any city,
and yeah. nobody ever wants to pay for parking. And, you know, and it's funny because one of the things, you know, about it that I find hilarious is, I mean, I'm a downtown person. I love shopping downtown. I hang out downtown. I dine. My businesses are downtown. But the thing is that, you know, for me, like, I would prefer, like, I know where all the parkades are because I am downtown all the time. I find that a lot of it is an education issue where people who don't frequent downtown all the time don't know where all the parkades are. So they go to one parkade, it's full, and they're frustrated. So there's education that needs to be done around that.
They have an app now, do
they? And they have, yeah. and that's an improvement, too.
That's something.
That's an improvement, too. But I mean, I think the other side of it, too, is that, you know, I think that what I find is that, there, you know, there's the education side of it. You know, there's also just, you know, it's funny, it's a perception issue again. Like, for me, I'd rather look for parking around downtown for a little while and then find a spot, then circle around a mall forever. Like, it's amazing how sometimes, like, people will circle around malls forever mm-hmm. and in lineups, and yeah. yet they're somehow okay with it because the parking is free. And, you know, whereas to me, like, my time is valuable, and so, like, I'd rather pay $2 for parking and, you know, than be trapped in a mall. So again, I think it's a perception shift sometimes too.
I gotta say, and Dan, I'll preface what your comments on parking with this. I have noticed a marked improvement in my experience coming downtown in the last couple of years. The parkades have the signs that show you how many spaces are available, which is new. You get in and out quickly. I can often find street parking where I just couldn't before. Getting the first hour free is a nice yes. perk. Yeah. I just think, you know, my overall experience in terms of downtown and parking has changed. I've had a couple of cases where I've come back to the meter, you know, 10 minutes late, and there is no ticket. You know, where you know, it was pretty much assumed you would have a ticket in the past mm-hmm. because they were so vigilant.
I think strategically the city's made some good moves around parking. I think parking's always going to be a hot topic and something easy for people to point at as the cause of, you know, struggles downtown, the reason people aren't going. I haven't yet seen any quantitative research that proves that point, right?
Well, I happen to be in a business where I meet a lot, and therefore likely average up to half a dozen meetings downtown a week. Mm-hmm. And the parking changes introduced have made a phenomenal difference to my life.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have generally not met downtown
yeah.
and now do.
Yeah, me too.
It's like yeah. crazy different.
It's
better.
Way different, yeah.
Okay, it's
yeah.
like Yahoo.
Yeah.
Yahoo, Paul.
I'd budget about $100 a month for parking tickets as well.
And did you?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Wow.
And I you know, the last few months, zero.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's better.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think, okay.
That's not.
Click.
Dan, what's your goal?
You know, so
you're cruel, Paul. Really, you're cruel.
My goal is to get everybody to understand that economic development is a good thing and that it's important to all of our well-being. And until every citizen within our community understands that and advocates for clean, quality economic development, then we're not going to get to where we need to be, right?
So obviously that means you sense that's not the case right now. There's too many folks that don't have a business focus, sort of, in, you know,
okay,
not
so,
that they should, but.
So some people think business is bad. They don't recognize that businesses pay more than their share of taxes, which support mm-hmm. community centers
and, they
and all those
people.
Other things. And they create yeah. jobs. And okay, philanthropically, yeah. you know, businesses can contribute millions and millions of dollars to causes that wouldn't be there without us. And so, I want to do the anti-Gordon Gekko and get everyone to go, you know, business is good,
yeah,
right?
Well, that's
and we
cool.
need to support it.
That's cool.
And, you know, business really you know, I'm glad you brought that up about philanthropic causes. That's always been important to me. And any time I was, when I was in business, we always made sure that, you know, we were doing something to give back. One of the things that impressed me the most when I was approached by Smart Dolphins to join the team there, they every year they do a fundraiser. They raise a few $1,000s for the Mustard Seed Food Bank. And, you know, this is important. This is important stuff. And if you don't have businesses raising all the money that they're raising for all these charities and nonprofits that are doing great work in our community, then you're missing a big component. And not to mention, of course, all the employees who are getting their paychecks, who are also supporting the causes as well.
So a better environment, a more constructive environment that supports business would be a goal of yours for the future.
Absolutely. I mean, it starts with recognition of the importance and value, a willingness to support, and then we find the ways to support business.
Well, maybe you, Paul, and I—we have to convince Mike. We can do our little bit to help change that culture. So, what do you think, Daniela? In terms of like future, what would be kind of things you'd like to see changed?
Well, you know what? I'd love to see. I'm a very active person, so I always see opportunities. You know what? I mean, I would like to see us continue to really grow the business sector locally. I think that, and to really celebrate success, I think that, you know, because we're a smaller community, I think that sometimes we view that when people become successful, they're kind of selling out. I think that's a mindset that's very local. And I think that we need to change that. I think we need to really encourage success. I think we need to think bigger. I think we need to, and we need to encourage each other to think bigger. You know, I mean, I'm really involved in mentorship and mentoring entrepreneurs because I know what I went through. And because I know that I can help them, and because I think that so often, you know, we become what we see as possible. And, you know, if you're someone whose business is growing and you have people saying to you, well, how big are you going to get? And, you know, are you selling out? And, you know, and all of these different things, I think that that's limiting, you know. And, I mean, we have so many fantastic success stories, and I think we should talk about those more. I think we see too much in the media all the time of businesses that are failing.
Well, not even of businesses failing, just not about business at all.
Well, there's that too.
There's just not enough chat about that.
It's a very American thing to celebrate success, and I think there's a little bit of that mindset where, well, you know, we don't want to celebrate, you know, business success because, gosh darn it, that's, you know, a very American thing. And I think there's a little bit of that knee-jerk sort of thing. I remember I sat down with a friend of mine who was a colleague in my previous industry, and he had left the firm that I was with, and he had moved on to another firm and was having huge success. And partway through the conversation, he knew I was going through a rough patch. Partway through the conversation, he's like, "Oh, sorry, I probably shouldn't kind of exaggerate." And I said, "You know, the moment that I start to look down on somebody because they're having some success that I'm not having at that particular moment, is the moment that, you know,
you need a slap
that
on
I
the
need
head.
A slap on the head." Yeah,
I'd enjoy doing that to you all the time.
We have to celebrate each other's success. This is not, and I think Lisa Helps has actually said it well several times. Business is not a zero-sum game. Everybody can be successful. It's not a trade-off. You don't say, well, you, Danielle, you can be a certain amount of successful, but that's going to negatively affect what Dan's doing. It's not how economics works.
No, but you know what? That's the way it used to work, right? Like, I mean, when you think about it, before we had online markets and all sorts of other things, it was much more competitive, right? And maybe some of that old mentality is still existing.
Because we live on an island?
Yeah, maybe, I think that might be part of it. I think that there's a lot of unconscious perceptions that affect human behavior, as we all know. but so I do think that might be part of it. And I think, and again, like, you know, that there's so many fantastic businesses that are doing so well in our community, you know, and, you know, and I see it a lot in the culinary sector, which I'm obviously very closely tied to. And, but again, you know, we need to encourage each other to do more to, you know, to actually talk about our success, right? Because I think everybody gets so busy doing whatever it is that they're doing that they don't always make time for that. And, you know, and I think that's a part of it too, because I think our role is to inspire people and get them excited. And, you know, and I think that so often because we're local, we're relatable, right? So if somebody, you know, somebody saw me 23 years ago starting my business and they've seen it grow, hopefully, you know, that's exciting to them, right? You know, and then they can go, well, she did that out of a tiny little store in Chinatown.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, these are all very achievable objectives. Yeah. That's what I'd like to hear out of this.
And, you know, part of the reason that I invited these two today was because these are business leaders that have been successful, that started, you know, down the totem pole and worked their way up. And you know, a lot of hard work and a lot of effort. And I remember 22 years ago running into this place called Silk Road Teas and going, this is interesting, a tea shop. What's this all about, right? And the fact that you've persevered through economic turmoils and, you know, everything else, and you've built, continued to build your business, I think is a huge inspiration. And it's, I think it's like, and I, although we kind of avoid the topic of gender in this, it's also I think fantastic because there's so many women in business that will take that inspiration because they see another successful businesswoman as well.
It's true. And, you know, it's something that I didn't realize when I was starting my business, but certainly I didn't have the opportunity to have a lot of female role models and mentors, you know, in the entrepreneurship sector. And, you know, and I wonder how that could have affected me positively. I mean, if I had had those role models, I think it would have been very beneficial. And it's certainly something I hear from women who are in business, you know, who are starting businesses, that it's very important for them to see me. It's been very inspiring for them to see me. You know, and I think that, again, that's an important role that we play. And one of the things on female entrepreneurship that I will mention, and it's something that really is sort of a pet peeve of mine that I see, is that so often female business ideas are out of the box and they're lifestyle oriented because that tends to be the sector that women skew to. And for that reason, often female business ideas are not taken as seriously. You know, and I think that if we can encourage people to do anything to support entrepreneurship in our community too, I think we should be encouraging them to take women's businesses more seriously sometimes and encourage those entrepreneurs, because there's a lot of vitality that comes from that. And frankly, where are we moving to as an economy? It's all ideas, it's all lifestyle products in a variety of different ways. And women are often the ones that they're so far ahead of the game sometimes that people, they don't get the ideas. But I think we need to kind of encourage that. And certainly, again, when I started my business, people were like, tea, Chinatown.
I think that's a fantastic idea.
You know, like, yeah, you know, yeah, like, yeah. And, you know, and I think
I can see Paul not agreeing with you there video.
But I'm going to just keep going on because that's what I've done my whole life. But I think that that's something. And you know what? In my case, you know, it actually galvanized me. So when people were like, what, tea, Chinatown, what's that all about? And now you've got a spa too, you know, kind of a thing. For me, I was always like, okay, well, I have a vision for what I want to do, and your opinion really doesn't matter or I'm going to convince you. Because to me, the customer is what matters, right? The customer is what matters. So to me, the customers were responding. That's all I cared about.
Yeah.
But again, I would say, you know, one of the things that I'm always careful about is just because I'm somewhat successful doesn't mean that it's an easy road for everybody.
Right.
And you know, so I do. Like, I think that more and more I've realized that that's, I think, something really important that we should be doing.
Well, let's celebrate your success. I would like to know how John plays around with the manufacturing
sort of
industry a little bit here and there. But it's far less interesting stuff that
far
he's
less interesting
than what you're doing in your new manufacturing business, and you're shipping this product all over the world. Tell our audience a little bit about what's happening in your business, you're willing to share.
All right. Well, I am notoriously secretive. It's true. Okay. Well, no. So we've been making tea in Victoria since we started the business, but our manufacturing capabilities have grown a lot. And so we brought this new specialized equipment in from Asia to manufacture tea bags that are really ultra high quality, and we're the first company in North America to offer this product. It's gone over extremely well. I mean, we've had such a positive reaction from customers, you know, locally as well as across North America. And, you know, it continues to grow. And I think manufacturing is, again, another area that we should be looking at. Now, I think you have to be careful because, again, you know, we don't have cheap land here. You know, so the cost of manufacturing is high.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and you have to add the factor of shipping in as well.
Yeah.
But what you need to do then is create a specialized product, right? You need to create a specialized product that can absorb those prices.
Yeah. something that's not too heavy to, like, steal.
Well, manufacturing actually is an extraordinarily vibrant industry in Lower Vancouver Island.
It is.
Of the roughly 120 companies that are located doing manufacturing of some kind in Lower Vancouver Island, about half of them are on the peninsula.
Yeah.
So to your point around land, that's intriguing. They certainly create sustainable, high-paying jobs, which I think we all like and want.
Yeah.
To that end, without putting you on the spot, Dan, I think the GVDA has done some work in this area around researching what some local companies feel are some things they would like to learn and be and to help them expand their business beyond our borders.
Yes.
And so I
think... You mean borders of Canada or borders of Vancouver Island?
Maybe both.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put you on the spot now. Is that something you could speak to, some of the work around developing a manufacturing industry locally? What could be done to help that?
I can't speak to manufacturing specifically, but what we are doing a lot of work in right now is in exporting, increasing our export capacity. Mm-hmm. We've got some federal funding to help us mm-hmm. do that, but $1.6 million over 3 years that we're pairing with private sector funds. We've done capacities and capabilities survey. We've identified what supports companies need to expand and do more business internationally. And that ultimately is a good thing because it brings new money into our economy, creating jobs. So
and
it's not like the old days where it's a zero-sum game. There is the opportunity to bring more money into our market without necessarily bringing more people, right?
Yeah. So, well, and I think, again, I mean, it speaks to what GVDA can do in the sense that you're able to get funding that might not otherwise be available, right? And you're also able to focus attention on areas that were neglected before.
Or weren't able to be focused on.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's I think there's 6 to 8 amazingly great ideas from 2 local business leaders, very successful business leaders, that any business person could build upon and grow their business here locally without political help.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's very encouraging.
Yeah, and like I said at the beginning, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic about the political situation, but the business situation, the feeling I get on the ground is all... It's positive. Victoria is a difficult place to do business. It always has been, right? And you can attest to a few years yourself, right?
But you know what I would add, though? But you know what I would say, though, to that, too, is that I travel a lot for business now, and I talk to people in other marketplaces. Business isn't easy anywhere.
Anywhere.
Sure. You know, I think it's a myth that business is easy, and I think we have a tendency to say that it's hard here. I think it's hard everywhere. I think it's also getting harder because, again, your competitors are online. They're undercutting you. Like, there's all of these different things going on. But as I've said, the reverse is true, too, right? So now you can get out there, and you can compete to a global marketplace, and you couldn't do that before. And you have huge opportunities to actually connect with people. Like, it used to be a successful business, you needed to be in a major marketplace, right? Like, that's where you needed to be because the key influencers were there and everything was there. Now you can reach key influencers from here.
Okay, well, I think on that note, our 2 very successful business people
probably
have some business to do.
Yeah, we got to start
keeping
up.
And we are going to talk about Social Media Camp. And I'd love to do that with you.
Oh, okay.
So thank you both, Daniela.
Thanks
thank
for
you,
having
Dan.
Us.
Thank you.
Thank you.